Thanks, Sherry. Good evening, you guys. It's good to be back here. Not good to drive. I drove from Indiana, but it was a revelation after Steak and Shake last night. On the way to Indiana, I got to Germantown, and then there was a turnoff. You guys really don't care about this, but I called my mom because I was like, Middleton, is that how you say it? Middletown? So that's where my dad grew up. And that's why, I guess, because we're German, so that made sense now. I all connected why he lived here. And he doesn't live here anymore, but I didn't stop there either, but I saw the sign. That was close enough, but I've been there before. So, yeah, I've been to, you know, Southbrook how many times? And I was like, I told my mom, I was like, it's like 10 minutes from this place I always go. So maybe I'll bring dad next time. But anyways, it's good to be back. And I've listened or watched online, Laura the first week of this traffic series and then Jake last week. So here's what I want to tell you about tonight. Because I'm excited about this and excited just about this relationship that we have with Southbrook. Some of you guys might not know much about our ministry or what Triple X Church. There's some actual information. I brought some of these flyers and some of the Bibles that we hand out at these conventions. They're at a table. So right when you walk out, you can take those. So the Sunday crowd doesn't get any of those either. But feel free. That just kind of catches you up to speed. We just celebrated our 10th year. And we had this little party in Southern California. And Sean and Amy Case came down kind of on behalf of Southbrook. And let me just tell you, I mean, we don't have that many friends that like us as much as you guys do and have spent kind of this kind of time with us over the last several years. And this was kind of a small gathering. But as I looked out at that room and churches that were represented, I'm not just saying this because I'm here. But, I mean, Southbrook has been instrumental in just our ministry. And even last year when I was here, Sean and Jerry kind of pulled me aside and they said, hey, we want to get behind something. What are you doing next? And so just to give you a little heads up of what's coming in 2013, we've done these events before where we've called them a National Porn Sunday or a national, we've done like these national days where we create this day where we're going to talk about a topic like pornography or like some of the things that you've been talking about. And then we provide churches all the resources to be able to tackle that issue. And so in 2011, we don't do it every year because it's quite a bit of work and money and all those things. And so last time we did it was on Super Bowl Sunday in February of 2011. And we had about 360 churches participate. And it was just an amazing time. And so we're getting ready to do that in 13, basically because of Southbrook. So this conversation that I had, these guys said, hey, what could we be a part of? And so I had this idea of, hey, I don't want to just talk about porn this year. But what I want to talk about is how all this stuff connects. Hence the theme here, traffic. As you guys will watch this video in the next few minutes, and I'll get up afterwards and share some final thoughts. Our hope and prayer was to show people how this industry is all connected and how there's a lot of conflict pretty much running throughout all of this. And so I kind of share that idea. And so our plan is in next year is to basically take what you're going to see tonight along with this kind of package and all this stuff that goes behind that and get it out to churches on one day, probably in October of 2013, which is like a long ways off. But you guys get it tonight. And it's kind of the rough draft form because this is kind of made possible by your church. And so we just want to say thank you so much for that. And just we're excited about just the amount of people that this will be able to reach. And so with that, let me go ahead and pray and we'll start. So God, I thank you for tonight. I thank you just for this church and just sincerely what it means to our ministry. God, for what we're about to watch, the people on the screen. God, I pray right now as I don't know where they sit, where they are at with their walks with you, with their journey out of this industry. God, I just pray that your spirit would just move in their lives even right now. And God, as we watch and as we're in the third week here of this series, God, may we understand a little bit more about how this all connects and what we can do about it. So God, we pray for this and pray this in your name. Amen. You watch that and it's real. It's raw and honest. But the reality is, these people are all conflicted. The reality is, everybody says they want out. Everybody says that they don't want to do this anymore, but then they continue on. And I don't know, maybe some of your situations are similar, where you found yourself chasing after things and you're just like, what am I doing? Well, I need this fix, or I'm going somewhere where I never thought I would be. And then you are reminded, maybe in the middle of that, of what really matters. Maybe some of you have just inherited kind of your issues. It hasn't been things that you've chased after, but things that maybe you've had no control of. But when I watch this, and as I've gotten to know these people, I realize that the conflict runs throughout their whole entire lives. I realize nobody in their circles really cares about them. You know, as I've been in this industry for 10 years working to help people in this industry, just by us showing up and saying that Jesus loves you shocks people, because everybody else around them just wants something from them. I hope that the next time that you go online and you find yourself searching for something X-rated, that you think of these three. I hope that if you find yourself searching Craigslist for escorts or massage parlors in the wrong parts of town, that you're reminded of Joseph, of Athena, and Mercedes. And the reality is, the more you search, the more you chase after this stuff, the harder it is for them to leave. The more supply there is for this kind of product, the easier it is for them to stick around. And it's kind of twisted to me. I mean, this week, as I was kind of preparing for this, I got three letters sent to me of people now that are facing jail time because now their addiction has taken them to do something with children. And as you saw in this video, obviously, as we put this together, all those people have chosen to do those things. Nobody's being held by their own, you know, by somebody else's will. But the reality is, we live in a world where now, man, kids are stolen and sold for sex. Not just in other countries that we hear about, but in our country. I mean, I was frightened as I got my 7-year-old's with me, my 9-year-old's not. But as I watched that video, I think it was about 10 days ago from Philadelphia. If you saw that the little girl and her brother were walking down the street, and all of a sudden this guy tries to take the girl, and luckily, like, she screamed, her brother screamed, and then there's cameras, and the guy ran off, and hours later, after I think 8 million views, the guy was caught. I remember watching that and trying to explain that to my kids, you know, there's people out there. And when they ask, well, why would they steal a kid? Like, what would somebody want with one of us? And that's when it just, you don't even want to have those conversations. You don't even want to go there to think, what were they going to do with this 10-year-old girl? But I've seen the videos. We've worked with a number of organizations that you see the... You see how when the Bible says that lust will never be satisfied. I mean, nobody thought they would end up doing that, or nobody thought that their addiction would take them now to another part of the world with a child. But that's why these kids are stolen. That's why these kids are, because there's a demand for it. And if that strikes you here today, I know in the middle of this series, there's different informations that you've been hit with. There's different people that have been in the lobby with different ministries. There's one that a couple I'll share with you, IJM.org. What they specialize in is rescuing those young victims that have been held by somebody else's will in other parts of the world. And kind of a leader of that. And so if you want to get behind something like that, as this kind of strikes you and you go, what? Like, there's people, and I have extreme compassion on people like Joseph. I mean, he's a pastor. He's a guy that's got his own kid, but now he's torn with this addiction of going over here. But what IJM does is just truly incredible. IJM.org is their website. There's another ministry called love146.com. You can hit their website up, and what they specialize in is, what do you do after you rescue these girls? Like, what's next? How do you get them then the next part of life? I mean, dealing with the trauma, dealing with what has happened. I mean, we do a lot of that with people that have not been stolen or sold for sex, but have chosen to do that. And that's a brutal kind of a recovery. And so I can't imagine what that is, but Love 146 is some incredible things. There's probably plenty of people like this, but there's a guy I know in this own church that was struggling similar like Joseph. When he found himself doing stuff that was going to wreck his marriage, decided that, you know what, no, I'm not going to do that anymore, but I'm going to get help myself, and now I'm going to help others. So there's recovery programs here if that's something that you need or something that you feel called. You know what? I'm going to do something about this. I'm going to help somebody else. Man, I'll never forget. It was just last month. I was in Calgary, Canada. And I flew Joseph down with me. And I said, Joseph, I got a bunch of men that I want you to speak to. And he just laid it all out. And so we're in another country because that's Canada. And he said to 500 guys sitting there, here's my cell phone number. And I'm going to be here all weekend. And so if you want to call me, and, you know, I don't have an international plan or anything like that, but just call me and I'll meet with you for coffee, or I'll answer my phone. And he was staying in my hotel room that weekend, and I was just like, where are you going? He's like, I'm meeting this guy in the lobby, and I'm talking to this guy. And I just, this heart for other men that are struggling, I just sat there amazed going, man, you don't want to see people go through what it is that you went through. Maybe you have a story. Maybe something like that is kind of resonated with you, where you go, man, I wanna do something. And you heard last week from the two gals that came down and helped us at a porn show, going, what? I never thought they would be at a situation like that, but I think came back with that excitement of going, I could probably do this every weekend. Because, you know, and I heard back just with some of the girls continuing to text each other and build those communications. I mean, they're fired up, we're fired up, and we thought it was going to be another city, but we opened up Toronto, which is also in Canada, but it's closer than Calgary. Not that you want to drive, but November 1 through 4th, I'm just going to throw it out, is going to be the trip that we're going to lead with Southbrookers that want to go share the love of God with people at a sexpo. People like Joseph, people like Mercedes, people like Athena that are sitting there and thought that this is what their life is all about. And we get to bring in hope. Maybe that's you. So as I was driving last night throughout this beautiful state and a little bit of Indiana, I didn't see them all last night, but I did my research before getting here and realized this is shocking because I live in Los Angeles. There are, let me just see if anyone knows, like how many strip clubs do you think are in Ohio? Like just random guess. 1,000? Well, come on. Like, 1,000? Well, is Ohio that big? Where? No. So, I mean, because not 1,000, but I thought it would be about like 30. There's 123 in Ohio. There's 7 in Dayton. And I coming from, like, you would expect that in Los Angeles or California, Nevada, where we've been. But I was looking at a map of all these all throughout this state going, who's going to go there? We've just started something called the Strip Church Network now, where we're going to take women that have a heart for those people and not wait for them to show up at church, but just go to them. We have you can go to stripchurch.com. We have a training coming up that's in Miami in September. We're doing another training in February. And so I'm not looking for, all of you, but enough women that would go, you know what, that's me. There's 123 strip clubs in my state that I'm going to figure out what, with some help that we'll give you and some mentoring and some get you in the door, figure out how to do that. How does this all work? What's it going to take? And now you can see right up the road how you can reach people. Because hopefully what you saw on the screen is just the conflict. The I don't want this, but I don't know what else I could do, or I don't know what else is around the corner. Maybe it takes us sharing that, like Jake talked about last week, sharing his light. But here's what it comes down to. We can't change the world before we change ourselves. Because, I mean, I want to do it all. I see all this, and this stuff gets me fired up. But then I got to look internally and go, okay, well, what are those things that are causing me and slowing me down? And that's what I want to talk about real quick. 1 Corinthians, it will be up on the screen, but chapter 6. Because I think before we go and fix problems in our world, because they're going to exist. And all this stuff, I mean, this is just the harsh reality. You watch that and it's tough to watch, but man, we didn't make that stuff up. I mean, that was all just real. That's what they go through. That's reality. And so we want to change that. We want to bring some light into that. We want to help people. But what are we going to do internally? Because first, we got to change our hearts. It's interesting, and you might have seen this. It was another kind of national news story. There's a Christian scholar and a Muslim. They got together. And so it didn't even matter at that point what they were going to get together. Just the fact that they got together, I think, made news. Well, what they got together for was to write a letter to the hotel industry and ask them to kindly remove the porn from the hotels. And so I found out about it, and then I got called on, well, what do you think? And so when you talk on the phone, then you forget, like, it's going to be printed. So I just said to the guy on the phone, like, I think it's kind of the dumbest letter I've heard of. Like, it's like asking the internet to stop selling porn. I mean, that's what the internet does. And so, I mean, are they going to ask the hotels to not stock the minibar? Because that could be a problem for somebody. Are we going to ask them not to have Wi-Fi? Because now instead of paying $16.95 for the video on the screen, you could just get that on Wi-Fi. And so there was this whole debate. And the reason what I would have liked to see the Christian and the Muslim get together and work on is going, how in our congregations can we get people to change their heart? This stuff's always going to be available. It's always going to be readily available at every stop. And the fact that, you know what, you're going to go into a hotel on business next week, you've got to be prepared for that. You've got to already work through that yourself of going, you know what, there's going to be temptations on the road. There's going to be things that I know I've got to get right. So I think internally, rather than just asking people to stop, because, man, in a perfect world, that'd be nice, but this stuff's going to keep coming at us. And so how do we look at that ourselves and go, you know what? What do we do about it? Paul says this. He says, just because something is technically legal doesn't mean that it's spiritually appropriate. If I went around doing whatever I thought I could get away with, I'd be a slave to my whims. You know the old saying, first you eat to live and then you live to eat. Well, it might be true that the body is only a temporary thing, but that's no excuse for stuffing your body with food or indulging it with sex. Since the master honors your body, honor him with your body. God honored the master's body by raising it from the grave. He'll treat yours with the same resurrection power. Until that time, remember that your bodies are created with the same dignity as the master's body. You wouldn't take the master's body off to a whorehouse, would you? I should hope not. There's more to sex than mere skin on skin. Sex is as much of a spiritual mystery as a physical fact. As written in scriptures, the two become one. Since we want to become spiritually one with the master, we must not pursue the kind of sex that avoids commitment and intimacy, leaving us more lonely than ever. The kind of sex that never can become one. There's a sense in which sexual sins are different from all others. In sexual sins, we violate the sacredness of our own bodies. These bodies that were made for God-given and God-modeled love, for becoming one with one another. Didn't you realize your body's a sacred place, the place of the Holy Spirit? Don't you see you can't keep living however you please, squandering what God paid such a high price for? The physical part of you is not some piece of property belonging to the spiritual part of you. God owns the whole works, so let people see God in and through your body. I'm going to leave you with just 2 points tonight. The first is to run away from it. I mean, it says it right here. We must not pursue the kind of sex that can never become one, leaving us more lonely than ever. Man, I watch Joseph on the screen and I go, man, this guy is broken. This guy is lonely. This does not fulfill. The Bible says this stuff is different. Run away from it. Man, what would happen if we all ran away from it? That we couldn't support 123 strip clubs in the state of Ohio. If more people just ran away from it, there wouldn't be work for those 123 people that need strippers to do that. There wouldn't maybe be some of this demand that there is if we would just obey and say, okay, I'm going to run away from it. And I get it. It's hard. There's temptations that are going to come at you as soon as you walk out here. But you've got to be prepared for that. You've got to be aware. That's what this church is all about, to help you in that battle. Whether that's small groups, whether that's accountability groups, whether that's a team of people, an army of people. Man, when Joseph went out of town with me, I was like, man, who are these people calling you now? Like, you're just popular. He's like, I got 8 people that can call me at whatever time. I'm like, can you put it on vibrate? Because I need to sleep. And he's like, they call me at all times of the day, whenever, because, man, this is brutal. When I go dark is not good. And he's talking about that whole just, you know, when I don't let anybody in, man, it's tough to run away from it. But the Bible challenges us to run away, flee from sexual sin. Run away from it. I was at the Verizon store recently, and these people are all annoying. And at the cell phone store, like, I mean, you gotta wait in line to just talk to somebody. It's like, what am I at the dentist? And I just, you know, just to do anything, I gotta check you in, and now they check us in, and they're like, well, let me see if you're, and I was like, look, I don't need the whole spiel. I was there with a friend of mine, and I said, he is there, and he wants to be downgraded. And they're not, like, out of all the things they get all day long, you know, I want an iPhone, I want an Android, I want this, they've never heard that. Like, what do you mean? And then she pulled up his account, and she said, let me see if you're eligible. I'm like, dude, he's eligible for a downgrade. Like, I've told him he's eligible. His wife says he's eligible for a downgrade. Like, well, what do you mean? I mean, I want a junky phone for him, so, and that's what he wants at any cost. And it was just kind of like, let me go in the back and find one that met our specs. That didn't have internet, that only didn't have a camera, it didn't have anything. And it was just one of those things of like, and I don't know why it was $356, but it was. It ripped you off. I was like, man, we could have just bought this on eBay, but we came home. And because he realized walking around in his pocket with this in his pocket, this iPhone, was trouble. That he was not going to have success running away from it. So how you're going to do that, I don't know exactly, but I hope you decide, you know what, it's worth it. It's worth it so I don't keep supplying this and I don't end up like that. That I've got to make a change or else my family might not be there. My job, my ministry, man, I'm going to do as I've been told in the Bible to run away from the second thing. It says, let people see God in and through your body. And I mean, that kind of leaves this open-ended. Because, I mean, you ask yourself, well, can I do this? Am I still then allowed to go and search for that? Am I okay if this happens? I mean, if that will probably give you the answer. Because that's the purpose here. To let people see God in and through our body. When we talk about being a light, as Jake spoke about, well, that's one way to be a light, to let people see God in and through your body. The things that you're wondering, the things that maybe you know you shouldn't be doing, that are in the back of your mind, that you already have plans for maybe after service, where does it kind of fit in with that statement? Run away from it. And let God shine through your body. Let people see God through the things that you do. Go ahead and bow your heads with me. God, I pray right now just that your spirit would just even continue to just work in this room. And God, I don't even know really what else to say. And as I've met these different people on this video, as I've tried to kind of put this all together. As this series has hit on a number of issues, God, I pray that we realize that we got to stop feeding into any of this. And God, there's a role that all of us can play to help those. But how are we going to help ourselves? How are we going to let you help us? So God, I pray for your help, your Holy Spirit, your helper, our helper, that will help us run away from these things, that will help us let people see you in us, because on our own, God, we probably can't do those things. I pray for the marriages. I pray for the families. I pray for the brokenness that is here, that God, your Spirit, you're a healer, God, that you would start to just work miracles. God, I pray that we as a church get so fired up about the change that you're going to do in us that we want to take that around the world. And God, we're not going to stand for this. That God, we're going to not stand on the outside, but we're going to go to the inside and let people see you in us. So God, I pray we hear stories of the contagious attitude that just becomes in this church of reaching into these dark places. God, we love you. We pray this in your name. Amen.